Good morning. Good morning, church. And we come together to worship in the house of the Lord. And for those of you at home, there is a church full of people, which is absolutely marvellous, actually worshipping together. Unfortunately, we can't sing. We can, a few of us that are on the stage, but those of you at home can sing and sing your hearts out. We're going to start with All the Earth.
Into your cross I will enter, Maker of heaven and earth. I tremble in your holy presence. Glory, glory in your sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord. Before you, all light adores you on the earth. Will declare that your love is everywhere. The fields will exalt, seas resound. Hear the trees shout for cry, praising you, and so will I. A new song I'll sing, Lord, I will glorify and bless your holy name. Jesus, Lord of all life and salvation, into your presence we come. We worship you, our precious Savior. Fill us with your holy power. Set us aflame with your love. To nations all know your glory on the earth. We'll declare that your love is everywhere. Hear the trees joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. A new song I'll sing, Lord, I will glorify and bless your holy name. All the earth will declare love is everywhere. The fields will exalt, seas resound. Hear the trees joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. A new song I'll sing, Lord, I will glorify and bless your holy, glorify. Bless your name, glorify, and bless your holy, glorify, and bless your holy
name. I just want to add my welcome to you all. It's so lovely to have human beings in front of us. But that's not forgetting everybody at home, of course, or online who are watching us. So it's great to have you all here. Really is fantastic. So make a bit of noise. You're allowed to make a bit of noise. Okay. They're a bit out of practice, everybody at home. So, you know, they're used to jumping up and down in front of the TV anyway. I know that, but... we're going to be obviously having people with us now over the next few weeks, we hope. But it's fantastic to have you all here. It really is. And we're going to be picking up on some of those themes from the opening video about how God sees us and how God touches us and how God heals us. So those are some of the themes which are going to be drawn out as we go. So let's pray, shall we? Let's give our time to the Lord. So, Father, we do want to thank you for this new day. Thank you for the fact that the Lord, the sun's risen again, although it's hidden behind clouds for us here. But Lord, thank you that you've given us the chance of a new day again this day. But Lord, this is a day when we can come and worship you. Lord, every day in one sense we can worship you, but the fact that we can gather and either online or we can gather here in person, Lord, we're wanting to actually give of ourselves into our worship this day. Lord, we give all that we are, and we ask, Holy Spirit, for your presence with us as we worship, as we sing, as we hear your word, and Lord, as we pray. We just want to offer it all to you for the sake of your kingdom. So come, move in us, move in this world, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Few announcements. Obviously, we are here back, I just want to encourage those of you at home, if you've not had your invitation yet, you will get that invitation coming through our life groups. But over Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we have that opportunity for anybody to come. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've not had your email yet, giving you that, where to log in for that. There will be a chance even after the service today for those of you here if you've not yet signed up. Otherwise, let's leave a note in the comments and we'll make sure we get back to you with that link so you can book yourselves in. Just also a reminder, I gather that the Churches Together Caring for Creation course, the Lent course, has been superb. It's very stimulating, really, really helpful stuff. Challenging as well, I gather, about our part of trying to protect the environment. But you can join for this last week if you wish, Tuesday morning at 11 or Wednesday evening at 7, both via Zoom. And if you'd like to be a part of that, again, if you've not got the information, just leave a comment in the comments column. Yeah, that's it. And we'll get back to you on that with that. Now, we've got worship on Wednesday as well, on Wednesday. And that's also at 7 here, but it, not for congregation at this point. We're hoping to develop that at some point, but at the moment it's just going to be with Adam and a team. So do join us on our Facebook Live feed here. That would be great. And, of course, you can all nip home after the service to get your cup of coffee and join in online, but we have our coffee time as well via Zoom after the service, and that opportunity for some prayer if needs be. But those are a few things which we just need to be aware of. But let's continue in our worship with God now, and remember, no singing, hard, and hand over to Adam and the rest of the team.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
Let's sing that again. Who am I?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me through his love for me, through his love for me. And the sun sets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child. Yes, I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace was thee. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died. child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free. Oh, he's free. Child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Chosen, not forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am who you say I am.
Who the sun sets free, oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Who the sun.
Who the sun sets free, oh, he's free. Child of God, yes I am. I'm a child of God.
Yes,
I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God.
I am.
split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Going to hand over to Rob now, who's got a little piece. Richard's having a week off, which is okay, isn't it? Yeah, it's okay for Richard. He's been working so hard, week after week after week. But we're going to hand over now to Rob, who's got a little piece for the children, and we're all children, of course.
Rob, why are you upside down?
I'm not Rob. I'm Bat Rob.
Okay, Bat Rob. Why are you upside down?
I'm being a bat.
A bat? Why?
Because they're cool. They sleep upside down and see using sound.
They can see using sound?
Yeah. They use echolocation. They make clicking noises which bounce off the objects around them, and these echoes then give them a map of their surroundings.
That is pretty cool. Actually, I've got an idea. You want to see how good your echolocation is?
Yeah.
Okay, so I set up this obstacle course so you can test out your echolocation. Just got to put your blindfold on, see if you can do it. Ready to go? Got it. I think it's working. Oh dear. That didn't go too well, did it?
No.
At least you don't have to rely upon echolocation normally. Actually, all of this reminds me of a story. In the Bible, there's a man who was born blind. Then he met Jesus and everything changed. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus heals a man born blind. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love. He did many miracles and healed people of their sickness.
Oh, hey everyone!
One day, Jesus was walking with his disciples and he saw a man who was born blind.
Hey, Jesus!
His disciples wondered whose fault it was that this man was blind. Jesus told them it was not because anyone sinned, but rather it was because the power of God could be shown through this man's life. Then Jesus spit on the ground and made mud. He spread the mud over the blind man's eyes and told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and did as Jesus said, and he could see.
Wow!
The man's neighbors and others who knew him as a blind man wondered if this was the same man.
Is that the same guy?
No way.
They said, "No, he just looks like him."
Right.
No, it can't be.
But the blind man kept saying, "Yes, it's me." So the people asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" And the man told them all that Jesus had done for him. The people asked, "Where is Jesus now?" But the man didn't know. So the people took the man to the Pharisees because it was the Sabbath, the day of rest, and they thought Jesus shouldn't have made mud and healed the man on the Sabbath. The Pharisees asked the man so many questions.
What's going on?
And he answered them, "I was blind, but now I can see." The Pharisees kept asking more questions. They even brought the man's parents in to ask them questions, but they wouldn't answer because they were afraid of the Pharisees. Finally, the man had enough and yelled, "Look, I told you once. Why do you want to hear it again? If this man were not from God, he couldn't have made me see." The Pharisees were so mad at the man for saying this that they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard what happened.
Oh, hey there.
And he found the man and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you."
Wow!
"Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus.
Wow. So Jesus healed him. He made it so the man could see again. Yeah, that's right. That's amazing. Not everyone thought so. Some of the leaders thought the man of Jesus was trying to make trouble. God was doing amazing things right in front of their eyes, but they couldn't see it. So they were kind of blind too. Yeah, they were blind to what God was doing. God is always doing incredible things, but sometimes we don't see it. So it's important we thank God for even the smallest things, like a tasty dinner or a beautiful sunset, a loving family, because all good things come from God.
I see.
So, can we do that now? Yeah, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much and for always doing amazing things. Help us to have open eyes so we can see it. Amen. Amen.
Good, thank you so much, Rob. We're going to sing our song, so pots and pans at the ready.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Who am I?
Who am I? You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
and he calls me forever friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Last time.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Oh, great. Pity we can't go, oh, oh, oh. Well, I've just done it, so sorry. Privilege of being up the lectern here. Okay, we quite often need to remember the world in which we live and the things which are going on. So Helen, Rochelle is going to come and lead us in some prayers. So thank you, Helen.
When I was asked to lead the prayers this morning for the world, I thought, where do we start? We live in a world where situations and events unfold that drive us to come before God in prayer, to ask, to plea, and to intercede on behalf of others. During the past year, many of us will have prayed like this. But can our short prayers this morning really make a difference? If we can see each and every prayer as a tiny piece of a great cosmic puzzle, which when fitted together allows for the completion of the grand picture of God's plan for humanity and the universe, then our prayers become really powerful. What do we long for the world? We long for poverty to end, for justice for the oppressed, for the blind to see and the lame to walk, for widows and orphans to be looked after, for those in chains to be set at liberty, for the earth to be rightly restored, for wars to cease, for those at enmity with each other to be reconciled, and for those who are lost to be found by Jesus and his love. What a wonder to think that God entrusts the fulfillment of his plans and purposes to us. We do believe that our prayers can and will change the hard hearts of tyrants, break down oppressive social and religious systems, and give fullness of life to those who suffer in abject hopelessness. So in our prayers this morning, we are going to concentrate on just a few situations. Lord, we long for poverty to end this morning, and we bring to you the country of Yemen. You who hears the cries from Yemen, of mothers choosing between medicine or food, of parents grieving children lost to starvation, hear our cries for hope, for change, for peace. In your mercy, break political deadlocks, soften hardened hearts, open unhearing ears. Let people come before power. Let life be holy again. Let your justice and peace shape the nation of Yemen and the lives of all people. Amen. Lord, we long for justice for the oppressed, and we pray for the millions of adults and children globally who are exploited through domestic servitude and with industries such as shipping, agriculture, mining, manufacturing, and sex work. We ask you to open the hearts and minds of people everywhere to recognize the signs of child exploitation and give us the courage to take a stand for protection. We pray for the tens and thousands of migrants who desperately resort to paying smugglers huge sums to transport them to Britain in unseaworthy boats or hidden in motor vehicles. Please provide them with a place to stay safely and bring to justice the criminals who exploit them. and closer to home, please give success to the police and others working to prevent vulnerable young people from being exploited by country lines gangs. Lord, we long for those in chains to be set at liberty, and we pray especially for two women whose liberty has been taken. We pray for Nazarene Zaghari Ratcliffe again. We look to you to move the hearts of those making decisions this week so that compassion can be shown to a young girl deprived of her mother and a family torn apart. We also pray for Princess Latifa, held against her will in Dubai. Bring justice, forgiveness and restoration to this lady and her family. And Lord, for ourselves, create in us a desire to pray, to fall on our knees, to cry out to you. When we feel tired, when our faith is weak, when we doubt the power of prayer, let us hear your voice speaking clearly. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, so do not be afraid, for I am with you. Amen.
Okay. Are you staying? You can leave if you wish. Okay. I'm sure you've all played the game Blind Man's Buff. Do you remember this? Years ago, yeah? And perhaps even Pin the Tail on the Donkey? Yeah. All similar games. But we've all played them, I'm sure. So especially as kids at parties back in the day. When you're blindfolded and you had to follow someone's directions or instructions, or you're even teased by all your mates. But it was a potentially dangerous activity. But like Bat Rob, I suppose, a bit, you know, when he was falling over the sofa. Ooh. Anyway, all innocent fun, of course. But, it wouldn't surprise me, because it was sort of dangerous fun. Some spoilsport bureaucrat in health and safety somewhere along the line has probably banned those games now, don't you think? Wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, joking and games aside, losing your sight and being blind is really not fun, is it? And especially when it sort of affects that and determines how you live and the way you live and what you're able to do for either a job or even how people may treat you. And that's really tough. And in fact, thinking about these things over my lifetime has made me so grateful that I can see. Yeah, albeit with glasses and other things, but I can still see. I can do so much more because I can. And I truly thank God for my sight. And my heart goes out to all those who are blind or partially sighted or restricted in some way. I think you're all amazing people, all of you. But our topic for our message from lockdown today picks up where we were a few weeks ago when we thought about Elisha and the various aspects of sight. But it's centered around a guy recorded in the New Testament that you've heard about in the children's talk, who was locked down with blindness the whole of his life from birth. And he didn't know what it was to be able to see at all. Yet, when he met with Jesus, he was freed from his blindness. And his sight was restored. But in more ways than one, his life was turned completely upside down as a result. So we're going to take a brief look at the account of the healing of this blind man as recorded in John 9. As in Rob's video, but more particularly what the wider implications are for those who meet and encounter the touch of God on their lives. Now, the whole story, the whole of John 9, is too long, really. So we're going to read the first 11 verses and then dip into a couple of more to grasp the fuller picture of what God wants to say. So John chapter 9, verse 1. And it says here, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was. Another said, no, it just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, well, who healed you? How, what happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. And now just down to the second half of verse 25, those wonderful words. This is how it comes after he's being questioned. But I know this, I was blind, and now I can see. And then verse 35 to the end. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshipped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered the world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Now, I don't know about you, but I love this passage. I read it years and years ago when I first became a Christian. And it's been special ever since. So rich with what God was doing and the fullness of what God's message was here. And it thrills me in every single way. But there's far too much for us to cover today in this account. But we can't do it in detail. But what we want to do is find what Jesus did to bring this guy out of lockdown, as it were. It was a way out for this man. It changed everything. And I believe we can learn so much from that. So I've used three headings to base our thinking around. And it's clearly that in God's and therefore in Jesus' heart, he wants to heal and bring sight. He wants to set free and bring true identity. And he wants to save and bring life. And all these flow out of that one statement which he said to his disciples there in verse 4. I am the light of the world, he said. I am the light of the world. One which, of course, we know and we've been thinking about at different times too. We know it so well. Now, interestingly, as many of you know, John's Gospel, because it's written slightly differently to the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, he includes the same stories, but he records them differently and at different times and alongside like an ongoing commentary and recurring themes. And so it's he picks up on these things and draws them out and develops them and puts stories alongside. And of course, the I am sayings were one of those very, very clearly. And this I am the light of the world was one of those statements, of course. The same phrase which you read back in the previous chapter, as it's recorded, in 8 verse 12. Now, it's pivotal to our thinking and to this whole story. And so it's really, really important that we grasp what God is saying through these words. Jesus spoke to the people once more, as it says in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. And through saying that, God obviously wants his light to shine in every human being's life, because it brings so much more than just being able to physically see. And so our first point is Jesus' heart and his mission is to heal and bring sight. Heal and bring sight. And he does that by bringing his light to shine in the darkness of the world and into humanity. And of course, we all know that when you're in dark, you can't see anything. You see very little. But when light shines, you can see. Everything is made clear. And it's looking at Jesus' ministry, that's what he came to do. God works on all sorts of levels within human life and human existence. On the physical level, the mental level, the emotional level, relational levels, and of course in the spiritual realm too. And it's something that has come out many, many times as we've looked at these messages from lockdown. Here again, God deals with us holistically. He doesn't just deal with the spiritual life. He deals with us physically, humanly, relationally, on all sorts of levels. Because he desires to make us whole, to make us complete. Something which, of course, got lost when man went his own way and made his own choices. But he touches life on every level and wants to enable every one of us to live, even here on earth, to its fullest. And, of course, in the following chapter, in John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it in its fullness. So it's his desire, it's his heart. And because life without God is like groping around in the darkness. It's like living as though we're lost. And although when you're blind, there's that sort of lostness. There's, you cannot grasp everything around you. We're struggling to find our way and our purpose. But God can give us that sight when he touches our lives. And as I said, it's more than just in the physical sight in this passage. It's much, much deeper than that. Now, of course, for this man, he'd never seen creation, for instance. He'd never really had a life before this moment. This is significant. We just read it, but I tell you, it's very deep, this. He'd never seen people's faces before, including even Jesus' face, the one who touched him and healed him. As it was only until the man went to wash in the pool of Siloam where his eyes opened. He may have visualized, and of course blind people feel, don't they? They touch and they catch a sense of, perhaps even by smell, of different things around them. But it wasn't until Jesus touched this man that he was truly able to see. And of course, not only did his sight restored, it actually opened up a whole different way of being, a different level of life. And I believe if we want to truly see, then we need the touch of God, don't we, on our lives. Because God wants us to enjoy the fullness of creation and the fullness of the life which he's given us. But there's an interesting question. Why did Jesus make mud at first? Why did he do that? Why did he spit and make mud out of the dust? It could have been that he could have just spoken the healing, as he did with many other instances, you know. But rather, he made this salve and he put it on the man's eyes. He touched the man's eyes. Now, it could be seen that Christ is giving out of his very body. And a lot of scholars would say it was the fact that it was his spittle. It came from his very being that it was crucial to this man's healing. And of course, Jesus then as we understand it, and we're going to be celebrating in a few weeks, it would be that what he would do later on the cross, in that wider sense of healing, which, of course, this man began to taste of. But it could also be reverting back to the first part of creation, when mankind was made from the dust. And so there's a recreation moment going on here, a restoration of that which was lost through sin right at the beginning. And there may be many other suggestions. In fact, there are some very weird ones, I have to tell you. But whatever the reason, God was being God, and God, through Jesus, was expressing love and power and his glory and his ability to touch and change life. God cannot be put in a box. And, you know, when we expect that God was going to heal in a particular way, this one broke out of it. Does that matter? No. He just longs to touch and to heal mankind. So the second point, which leads on from that, is that it's Jesus' heart to set people free and to bring true identity. This man, because he wasn't able to work like others because of his blindness, was forced to beg. His position and his value in society was the pits. It was the lowest of the low. He was trapped in his blindness and in his poverty, and would probably be in a sitting, like be like this guy, which is a modern day beggar, and he would be sitting at the roadside, sort of waiting for people to pass by, asking them for food or for money. Now, John doesn't tell us much about the background, but the question from the disciples about sin is an interesting one. It seems to indicate how people used to understand things like blindness or other disabilities. Almost as though you break God's rules, something's going to happen to you. And of course it does, but not always physically. But in this that was very much a part of the culture. And his low position was probably because people thought, oh, well, he's sinned, or his parents have sinned, hence the question. But most people in that sort of position would not have been noticed. Who noticed him? Jesus. If it had been left to the disciples, they probably would have walked past, but they didn't. Jesus noticed him, and he declared that it was nothing to do with this man's sin, but because God wanted to touch him. And I believe that is an expression that every human being, every person, is important. But do we notice everyone in the same way, I wonder? Do we see their need as Jesus saw his need? And I suppose it's not much different for us when we walk through our streets of our towns and our cities and we see people begging on the street. We see those who are sleeping rough, who've got nowhere to live, they're on park benches, whatever. We know nothing about the circumstances or the background either. But the way Jesus treated this guy challenges, I believe, our prejudices and our pious attitudes. Well, it does me. You know, is everyone of equal importance to us? Is everyone as important to God in our eyes? Of course they are. Or perhaps we see them as lesser beings. Yet the very touch of Jesus was crucial in setting this man free. His whole way of being was on the brink of change at this very moment. His status, his value in society and others was being transformed as he was touched and as he was healed. He was being brought from the low and put into a place of recognition. Jesus gave him a new identity. A new identity. Which, as the story unfolds, of course, was very hard for the Pharisees, the religious people, to see. Where would you sit? What would you be thinking, I wonder? Can it really? But, you know, of course, it wasn't just the physical or even the social identity that Jesus gave him either. This guy was set free on that spiritual dimension as well. He was given spiritual sight, not only physical sight to see Jesus, he was given spiritual sight to see not just the Son of Man, but the Son of God. The other dynamic of why Jesus was on the face of earth, to be Saviour and to be Lord. Hence the man spontaneously changed and fell at his feet as though worship. And yet it was before, when he was trying to give testimony to the Pharisees, he didn't know whether Jesus was a sinner or not. But he did know he'd been changed. And that's the crux of this. God wants to give all humanity so that they would no longer walk in darkness. And that's on a spiritual as well as a physical level. The darkness of sin and the lostness in life was lifted and replaced with this true identity of God, a God-given identity. And in one sense, we are recreated to be who God designed us to be through a relationship with God. Isn't that a hallelujah moment? Praise God. And then lastly, it's Jesus' heart to save and to bring life. We've touched on it in one sense, but we've already noted that Jesus stopped to minister to this man. He paused. He could have touched many others, and we know he did. But he stopped because this guy was an individual, and God saw him as an individual. He was important to God, which reflects, I believe, the Lord's desire in his heart to give man what he hasn't got on his own, salvation and life in its fullness. Without spiritual sight and salvation, in one sense we have no purpose, even for the physical life, even though we may be able to physically see. There's another dimension here which God's wanting to break into humanity, into this earth to bring. But once we've met with Jesus, once we've allowed him to touch us, we see the whole of life on a completely new, literally different, through different eyes, a whole new dimension. So you can understand why the man who was healed just couldn't understand the Pharisees' questioning of him. You know, they questioned him several times. They even tried to draw his parents in at one point to no avail. But they just couldn't get it. Why? And Jesus picks this up in the last thing. Because they were blind. They physically could see, but they were blind internally, spiritually. They couldn't grasp what was going on. And of course, that went right the way through, even to the point when Jesus was nailed to the cross. They were still blind to the truth of who Jesus really was. Yet for this guy, it was plain and simple. So much so that we have those wonderful words there. You know, but this I know. I was blind, but now I see. I tell you, there's nothing more powerful than your testimony. Than just telling people, this is what I was like, but this is what I am now. And it's simple. Now, you don't need to be have such a dramatic story as this guy did. From the gutter, from begging and all the rest of it, through to a new place. No, but wherever you were, to wherever you are now in Christ, is a story to tell. And it's worth telling. So be bold. Do it. Get out there. Tell everybody about what's happening. And I love it, because the Pharisees were well and truly put in their place this time. I love it when it happens. But it just shows the power of the testimony. They couldn't handle it. And the enemy can't handle your testimony, your story. And I tell you, open it. Open it up. Tell your story. And I believe God can and will use it to touch many other lives. They were lost in dark, but they needed the light. People are lost in darkness in our world. Your friends, your neighbors, perhaps. They're lost. You have the light in you. Share that light. Tell them your story. And who knows, God could use that to bring them through to that same place. And if you are watching this video, you're watching it somewhere, and you have not yet given your life to Jesus, then don't be like the Pharisees thinking you can see. God actually wants to touch each and every one of us. So I want to encourage you to open your eyes on the spiritual level. Now, we can't actually look at a passage like this and then not pray for healing, can we? I don't think we can. What's the point? This is not just a nice little figurative story. This is about God wanting to touch human lives. And so I'd like us to pray. And firstly, I'd like to pray for anyone. And that includes myself as well. Because, you know, God wants to touch our eyesight. What God chooses to do is beside the point in one sense. But we can turn to him and we can look to him and we can ask him to touch us. So if you have got any form of eyesight problem, then I just want you to perhaps open your hands before us now, where you are, even at home. And I'm just going to pray that God will break in and touch us and bring that healing. So let's just reach out to him. Let's allow God to do it as he chooses. We haven't got him physically touching us, making mud, but he wants to touch our eyes. So let's be open. So Lord Jesus, in the light of this story and in the light of your power and your presence, then Lord God, we just ask that you would come now and touch each person who is seeking you, wants you to touch their eyes. Lord, for those who've got deep disease or problems with their eyesight, Lord, we just know that you're a God who can heal. We've just been thinking about it. So, Lord, we pray that you will heal. You will touch. You will set free. We stand in the authority of your name. And we rebuke the blindness and we rebuke the partial sight. We rebuke these diseases in Jesus' name. And we speak healing and wholeness into eyes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful story. And for all that it holds in helping us to understand about true sight and seeing you as the way, the truth, and the life, and about finding our new identity in you. Lord, may you help all of us where we still remain blind to allow you to heal us and to remove that blindness. Lord, for those who are trapped in darkness in whatever way, Jesus, light of the world, shine, we pray, in that darkness. Drive it out by the brightness of your very holy presence, we ask. And for those of us, Lord, who can see physically, even spiritually, but are choosing to shut our eyes or even blindfold ourselves to your ways, to what you're telling us of the truth at this point, Lord, help us to trust you. And to know your deep love for us. Lord, help us to open our eyes afresh and to follow your way. And Lord God, for all of us who know you, we want to thank you. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth of who you are, Jesus. That we might know you. And Lord, give us confidence, I pray, to speak out our story, to tell our story to others, so that they might see something of you in us. So Lord, fill us and be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great story. Brilliant. And we're going to sing a song now to bring our service to a close, which just says it all. My chains are gone. Amazing grace. So let's worship as we do. Thanks.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. The sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down. Sing up the broken to life. You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set our treasure in jars of clay. Take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel. Go out to see your life in me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Who once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
You take our failure.
You take our failure. You take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. Take this heart, Lord. I'll be your vessel, the world to see. Your light in me, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, save the wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, and now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Raising up the broken to life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Great point to draw our service to a close, isn't it? I was blind, but now I see. So if you are struggling with any of these things, and just keep pressing into God. We can't stop to pray for those of you who are here this morning. We're not allowed to do that. But keep pressing in to all that God wants for us. And if you have got any particular things that you'd like to deal with, then you could leave a comment and we'll get in touch, or you could email us, whatever. But let's do that. Let's keep reaching out and allow God to touch our lives. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us if you're online. It's been great to have you. Do come next week. be a part of it. Well, some of you won't be allowed to physically come, but you can come. Those who are invited, it'd be great. Now, we're going to say the grace together, and Clive's going to lead us.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.